Yo, what's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're hanging out all day with our buddy Clinton Yates, giving us, instead of just two segments, all eight today. Hello, sir.
What's up, kiddos? I'm very happy to be here, so happy Thursday to you. And I know you're doing the double dip. I've done this before with this specific program, so I got you on that. I am fully charged. The batteries are included, Los Angeles. Understand that.
Okay, good. I like to hear it. Stay ready. You don't have to get ready. This segment brought to you by our friends at Straight Talk Wireless, where they have full court cell phone coverage that you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So, Clinton, I mean, we got a lot of stuff we could start with today. We could start with the Joe Kelly situation. We start with the Lakers and Clippers. But let's do this. Let's start baseball because we're going to have, I feel like, a lot of time to get people all riled up for this Lakers-Clippers matchup tonight on TNT. And, of course, right here on 710 ESPN. But the Joe Kelly thing, let me just kind of give you my overarching thoughts on this. And I blame Rob Manfred for all of this. And here's why. I understand that he granted immunity to the Houston Astro players. I understand that. I understand the reasons why. For those people that don't understand that, basically, he didn't want to get into a fight with the players' union because the initial memo that was sent out to the front offices, right? Which is why A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow were fired, okay? And that's why he granted players immunity. However, my biggest issue with that, not to relitigate history necessarily, but does tie into today, is that the people that were the most vocal about not suspending the Astros were the members of that players' union, okay? They were the ones most fired up about this. So when you suspend Joe Kelly for 13% of the season, I would imagine that's probably not going to sit well with the constituency that Tony Clark has in the Major League Baseball Players Association Union. Because if it didn't sit well the first time when they didn't suspend the Astros, and now this is what you're going to get, is basically Joe Kelly being used as an example. This is why I blame Rob Manfred for all of this, simply because he didn't want to fight. And whether it was actually going to work or not, it would have been in his best interest with his constituency and for the court of public opinion had he actually tried to put up a fight. And yet here we are, Joe Kelly, martyr, sacrificial lamb, statue out in Chavez Ravine.
Now, okay, all of that is true. And on a 10,000 foot level, I agree with you. But we don't have to do that here because, as you know, George, I'm smarter than that. Let's take a quick look at all of the characters involved. You mentioned Jeff Luhnow. You mentioned the Astros manager. Do we also remember who lost their job in that scenario? I will give you a hint. He's Puerto Rican.
Alex Cora.
Do you remember what team Alex Cora managed during this situation?
He was the bench coach for the Astros.
Do you remember what team he went on to manage who won the World Series against the Dodgers?
The Boston Red Sox.
Do you remember what player was the Game 4 winning pitcher for the Boston Red Sox who many people believe perhaps cheated as much as the Astros, however did not get caught in the same way?
That one I don't remember. You're going to have
to... Oh, it was Joe Kelly!
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
Weird! And let me even more frank. So Joe Kelly, this guy, the bespeckled 100-mile-an-hour guy who was on a team that cheated at least enough to get their manager fired, is suddenly the moral compass of what should happen to a team that has otherwise not been punished by the commissioner, which was stupid on its own. We're putting that on a separate plate for those of you worried about what's for dinner. Okay? Now understand this factor as well. Throwing baseballs at people's heads is always a punk move. End of story. Number two, it was a stupid decision in the context of exactly what you said, George, which is that you are gone for too much of the season now. And so if I'm Dodgers brass, I get why all this happened. But you better believe that if some guy is going to be throwing at people's heads on 3-0 pitches, an entirely additionally coward move, that I'm going to be talking to Dave Roberts and I'm going to say this. I know you think you had to do what you had to do, but was it worth it? Because Joe Kelly is an important player in that bullpen. Joe Kelly throws gas. Joe Kelly, in some regards, is obviously a gamer. But if you thought it was worth losing him in order to adjudicate something that happened to a team a couple seasons ago, I'm sorry, that's terrible decision making. You're not responsible for that. And furthermore,
well, but that's under the assumption that Dave Roberts knew that Joe Kelly was going to go out there.
Okay, well, if he didn't know that, well, then that does not indicate any larger level of leadership, is what I'm saying here. Is that ultimately, I'm not blaming Dave Roberts for this, but ultimately, this was not the right course of decision for the Dodgers in the 2020 baseball season. That's what this comes down to. And I'm going to throw on top of that the fact that, hello, you're starting brawls out here, my man. I can put aside coronavirus right now simply for the sake of the intellectual discussion. But in reality, if you're putting yourself in situations in which people have to come out and start touching each other unnecessarily, that's stupid. And number two, people said to forget about this factor. What if he'd gotten his ass kicked? Which could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the point here. What you're trying to prove is not worth what is actually happening. This was not a smart decision-making process from anybody involved in the Dodgers organization. I don't need Joe Kelly, former alleged cheater, as evidenced by what happened to the manager of the team that he won the World Series with, being the one who is judge, jury, and in this case, executioner of whatever the punishment should be for the Strohs. It's a daggone good thing they were winning that game, too. I understand what everything means in terms of what the punishment should have been for the Astros, but for the Dodgers specifically, this was nothing but estúpido, George. That's what I'm saying.
Look, I mean, I understand your point, but are we also just going to summarily dismiss that prior to pitching to any of those guys, particularly Bregman and Correa, that he was completely off the map as far as his control? Like, look, if you're going to try to hit Carlos Correa, you're not throwing an 87-mile-per-hour breaking ball. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't buy that part of it. Now, the Bregman one, you know, that one's hard to justify.
Yeah.
You know, the 96 mile per hour behind the head of Alex Bregman. But the Correa part, which is really in essence what he got suspended for, I just don't buy that that was his intent at that particular point. I think that once it escalated, right, and things were being said and the pouty face was made, which is still gold. It is the meme of a lifetime, I believe. I think that that's where this thing kind of went off the rails. But you still think, though, that 13% of the season is justifiable in this particular situation? Now, I know that he's going to appeal this, and it's probably going to get brought down to, my guess is, you know, probably half, maybe six games at the most. But still.
Do you not realize who Joe Kelly is? This is not just about the other night. This is not the first time Joe Kelly's hit somebody and started a brawl in the big leagues.
No, I know.
This is a factor here. And this is why I'm saying that overall, this just comes across as so stupid. Joe Kelly was not the guy for this. Not at all if you're the Dodgers. Specifically because of who he is individually. And overall, right, while the pouty face might be funny, bruh, you going nanny boo-boo against grown men? You do that to somebody else, they're going to come out there and give you serious hands. And I'm sorry, I don't care if you lost control at some point. If you're hitting people in the head, somebody's going to come back and punch you in the nose. And that is not outside of the realm of possibility in this situation, which would have also been a really stupid look. That's what this is about to me, man.
But you don't
believe...
You're
trying to win a World Series, and you're trying to get it together, a team that hasn't gotten over the hump, and you're out here with this nonsense early in the season? What are you doing, man?
Okay.
Y'all barely got by the Giants. Come on.
Let me ask you this, though. You don't believe that there's a ridiculous amount of irony here that the team that didn't – that cheated – That team that had the biggest scandal in the sport in God knows how long, what, 100 years, got off scot-free, basically, when it came to their players. And then this is what happens because Major League Baseball wanted to use Joe Kelly and Dave Roberts as the example. Like, you don't think there's at least some irony there?
I don't need to dip to the level of barbarism that we expect from random Major League Baseball pitchers in order to know what's dumb and what doesn't add to the safety of the game. Joe Kelly did not help baseball in this process. Trust me on that. That's what I'm saying here. There's this notion of some sort of high-minded, whatever moral authority. That is not the Dodgers' job. They do not have that kind of leeway on their season in terms of what kind of success they need to be going through in order to justify all this money everybody's making. That's what I'm saying. If you're a fan of baseball as in winning games. You're not a fan of Joe Kelly rocketing fastballs in people's heads and claiming just because he's got a viral video on Instagram that he lost control. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? This is what my point is. I would have liked to believe, quite frankly, specifically because of Joe Kelly, the Dodgers were better than this. That's a personal opinion. I'm not saying that what anybody did was wrong in the context of right or wrong. What I'm saying is, if I run the Dodgers, I'm not happy about what the result of that was, because it affected his team, Dave Roberts and Joe Kelly's, way more than it's going to affect the Astros. And that is stupid baseball on top of everything.
No, I agree with that part of it. Look, was it immature? Was it even dangerous? Yes, I'm not disputing that part of it. But I also think it was somewhat justified. And the reason is, again, because of what I stated to begin the show, which is Rob Manfred put these guys in this predicament. Had he just suspended some guys, okay? And again, his own constituency, the players in the players' union wanted that to be the case, all right? Had he just done that, or at least tried to do that, this wouldn't have escalated to this point. I was surprised, I got to be honest, that this was the route that it went, that someone actually went down this path and allegedly threw at them, you know, whether you believe he was wild or not. But to me, this all falls at the feet of Manfred. Like, I'm not putting this on Kelly. I'm not putting this on Roberts. I'm not putting it on anybody in the Dodgers organization. I'm putting it at the feet of the commissioner, who deserves all the vitriol that he's getting today. And I don't think he's even getting enough. I think he's completely in over his damn head.
Of course he is. But that's exactly why I have to maintain some level of decorum when it comes to people that are not him. You don't just turn around and say, oh, somebody might have gotten knocked in the head and concussed and maybe had their career ended. Well, sucks for you, Manfred. Nah, B. Manfred didn't throw any baseballs on that mound in the Astrodome, you know? And furthermore, I don't know that I believe that if the Houston Astros had gotten punished in the way that a lot of people think that they have, that people still wouldn't have been thrown at them. That is a whole other element to this that I think is actually very real. People wanted vigilante justice for that team anyway, regardless of what Manfred was going to do. And you're not going to convince me otherwise simply being told by the amount of pitchers who said, I would have done the same thing. And I don't think that necessarily at this point is related to what the commissioner's office does. Those guys wanted to do that because they thought it was right. Okay, I don't. And on top of that, I think it was way too risky for this team. I blame Joe Kelly for doing what Joe Kelly did. I don't blame Joe Kelly for what Rob Manfred did not do. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I mean, I get that. I think Joe Kelly not only took one for the team, I think he took one for the other 29, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not trying to make him out to be a martyr. I was joking when I said that earlier.
I know,
but
in essence,
I mean, he kind of is, you know what I mean, in that regard, you know, if we're doing low-grade martyrism. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you on that. He was the wrong guy for that task. And now it affects the Dodgers. As somebody that honestly thinks the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, to effectively count out your perhaps best reliever on some level because you want to get into some beef with the Astros, that's just stupid to me. You know, it's just not worth it, is what I'm saying. And if it turns out, let's just look at how the Dodgers bullpen gets through these next 8 games or whatever amount of time that Joe Kelly is gone. If it turns out we say, oh man, could have used that arm right there. And next thing you know, you're in a situation where you're way behind in the standings based on some stupid move you did with the Astros 2 weeks prior. That's not going to be good. Nobody's going to say, oh, well, you know what? I'm really glad that the Dodgers didn't get home field advantage in that first playoff series because, man, those Astros were cheaters. Nobody's going to remember that, and nobody's going to care.
I mean, I still think they can overcome if he suspends. I don't think he's going to get suspended for the 8 games. I do think that this thing is going to get it's not going to get overturned, but it's going to be appealed to a lesser number. But look, I don't even think – I would go as far as to say I don't even think that Joe Kelly necessarily evened the score because of the way the Astros walked free. I think this actually makes it more lopsided. Like, it, what Joe Kelly did puts a bigger bullseye potentially on the Astros, because there's going to come a time when teams are out of this 60-game sprint and they're going to be like, all right, here we go. And the Astros are going to have to deal with more of this, all because Rob Manfred didn't have the couillons basically to show the Astros the consequences that their actions actually deserved.
Joe Kelly might end up being a newly baptized member of the hands community sooner than he thinks on a baseball field. That's all I'm saying.
All right. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. We'll get your thoughts on this. Clinton and I will be hanging out all show today. Plus, Lakers-Clippers. Get your popcorn ready. We are back in 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Woo! It was hot and heated during the break. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776 if you want to hop aboard. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Clinton Yates hanging out with us all morning long. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And it is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I'm going to let, before we get to the calls at 877-710-ESPN, and the calls are coming in, Dodger boy Greg Bergman will take off his corporate hat and will put on his Dodger hat right
we'll
now.
Remove his Joe Kelly jersey that he's been sleeping in for 2 days, by the way.
Go ahead, Dodger boy. Go have at it with Clinton while Laura tends to the calls and gets us ready.
I love the fact that in this last segment, you sat there and tried to tell us that by losing Joe Kelly, the Dodgers are going to be at the bottom of the standings in these 8 games or whatever amount of games that he ends up being in. The Dodgers bullpen has been fantastic so far. Very small sample size. I totally understand that. But this is a bullpen that has been really, really good. And especially against the Astros, which is a very good hitting team, the last 2 games has been fantastic. I don't want anybody ever throwing anybody's head. That's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is, he did not hit anybody. He's being suspended for hitting nobody.
It is a technicality.
Period.
It is a technicality.
It's a technicality that doesn't matter to me, and I understand your point. I do not think that the Dodgers are going to plummet to the bottom of the NL West. My point is that if Joe Kelly is so expendable, then what is he doing out there so much anyway? You know, if you don't need him, okay, that's fine. But I don't agree with him being the guy. It's about Joe Kelly in this situation. It's not about the universal concept of what the Astros did. Joe Kelly is simply not what we'll just call in this case a credible witness in the argument of the morality of the Astros. He's just not. That's what this is about for me. Ultimately, it's the human individually. It's not just about what the Dodgers or the Dodgers fans, who are idiotically in my mentions right now, feel about what the team did against the Astros. It's about that guy not being the guy to execute that task, not remotely.
Look, it's going to happen. This is how the sport works. Even if Dave Roberts isn't saying that somebody should go out and do it, and is actually probably telling guys not to go do it. Who was the right guy? Was there somebody on this team like, oh, yeah, you should have? Doesn't matter who it is. Somebody was going to end up doing it. Joe Kelly just is the guy that's going to, you know, stick his finger on his nose and go neener, 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 because that's just the type of guy he is. So it's all going to work out. It's going to get dropped down. The guy is very, very wild. I mean, I've seen him. This is not something that you can deny. He was wild. If you watch any Dodgers game last year that Joe Kelly was in, he is consistently wild. And when he's wild, he is all over the place. When he's on, he is an incredible pitcher that's hitting corners and spotting his fastball, spotting his off-speed pitches. But when he's off, you don't know where that ball's going.
So at the same time, we're using the argument that he's making nanny boo-boo faces over mistakes.
Making the nanny boo-boo faces because Correa, if you watch the way the sequence of events went, Correa jawed at him. Dusty was jawing at him from the
dugout.
Brantley
was.
And then he did the nanny boo-boo, and then he said, why don't you just swing, biatch, or, you know, for lack of a
whatever,
better phrase.
Right. But my point is this. If you want to go at somebody, bite somebody. Okay, you don't have to throw baseballs at their heads. That's what my point is. If Joe Kelly is so pumped, go to give back your ring from 2018. How about that?
Well,
if you're so concerned about the ring adjudication. Like,
I mean,
take
this into consideration just for a second, though, is that you're in a situation now with no fans in the stands, so you hear everything that is being said that you probably wouldn't hear on a regular basis in a regular season with fans in the stands. You're hearing everything in the different clubhouses, and these things are going to start happening more often because a guy like Joe Kelly, who's a hothead, is going to say stuff, or Carlos Correa or Michael Brantley is going to say stuff, and the other team is going to hear it, and guys are going to start. That's going to cause people to get upset. You know how baseball players are. You've been around the sport long enough. They are hotheads, most of them, and like even in high school, like the baseball players were kind of jerks. That's just how.
Yes, I was a baseball player in high school. I am still a hothead, and I am still kind of a jerk. And if you want me to be the one to adjudicate a problem, you better believe, forget baseballs, I'm throwing hands because I know that it matters to me. That's what this comes down to. If it really came down to a fight needing to happen, I don't think Joe Kelly's the one you want out there with his dukes up.
Okay. Yeah, he's not afraid of anybody. He's not. That dude is not afraid. I don't
think he throws baseballs
at
their
heads. Correa is an MMA guy. No, he shouldn't be throwing baseball at anybody's head. Period. End of story.
No, agree. Okay. We agree with that part. Yeah.
Okay. That's
yeah. Let's go to the phones. People are hot. People are hot. And then we'll get to the Clippers and Lakers. Clipper Dodger Snoopy from Whittier. Go ahead, Clipper Dodger Snoopy.
What's up, Joe? I mean, what's up?
Don't get nervous now.
Look, hey, Clint, my boy.
What's
you
up?
You don't understand how gangster baseball is, man. And I know you're going to hate this, but it's part of the game, bro. And
yes, now it's a dumb part. Sorry, go on.
Okay. Now, gangster Joe Kelly is on our team. He's part of our crew, man. We forget about the past. And he's one of us, and he did what every Dodger fan wanted to do for 7 months. So I don't know why you're bashing on my boy, gangster Joe Kelly.
I appreciate that, and I understand your point. Don't tell me I don't understand baseball. That's ridiculous. I've been playing this game and covering this game for many decades, okay? So understand that I know what goes on. But what goes on is what's stupid. That's my point. I don't have to sit back and endorse barbarism because fans are happy. Don't get it twisted. I would completely, completely get why Joe Kelly becomes the people's hero as far as fans are concerned. Well, most fans also haven't stood in the box and had a baseball thrown at their heads. So if any of y'all want to call up and talk about what is and what is not smart adjudication, we can go on down to the local field. We can go on down to Venice High School and you can get in the box and I'll stand right on the mound and I will fire a baseball directly at your dome. And afterwards, if you have an issue with it, we can fight.
Are you challenging throwing people at their head during a pandemic? What has happened to you, Clint?
What I'm saying is that this is what people have to understand. This is about more than just the Astros when it comes down to the basic physicality of what people are doing. It isn't cool. It's really hard for me, Greg, to give somebody the benefit of the doubt if they're throwing baseballs at people's heads. That's really what it comes down to. You know what I'm saying? Is that the danger element there, never mind who he was, which is a factor here. To me, it's just unimpressive overall, even if it is noble on whatever, as you say, low-level martyrship, George.
I mean, I think that you're kind of assuming the intent was to throw at his head. I don't know. I don't believe that it was the actual intent was to go right towards his head. He was throwing behind him, and he was throwing 96 miles an hour. I think he meant to throw behind him. I don't think he meant to throw at his head. It just got away from him because he's crazy wild like that.
Okay. All right. If that's what you want to believe, that's fine. But if I'm in the box, I don't care if it was intentional. I'm coming out to the mound.
All right.
And I'm not using my glove in order to, adjudicate the matter.
Let's go to Gus in Brentwood. Gus.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sedano. Thank you for having me. Mr. Yates, it's obvious to see who was the one that drew the short straw today in this argument and had to take the bad cop role. But
no, he believes that. This is not contrived in any way.
Watch yourself.
Yeah.
You know, but look, you are talking about, hold up the decorum and, you got to, play with some class. I am 100% that, you don't go headhunting. However, when Rob Manfred stood on his high horse and said, no punishments, no suspensions, no nothing. What did that do to the governor's trophy? What did that do to that? It made it look cheap. Rob Manfred sold out the game to whoever owns the Astros and said, look, I'm going to protect your boys. You guys cheated. You stole the honor of all the other greats that have walked through this game before and won it the right way that we know of. But they cheated, and they did not get even a slap on the wrist. And then it was the arrogancy of Astros, their fan day. And they came out and they're like, oh, yeah, we won it the right way. Bregman and his big mouth, Altuve, and I had a tattoo that I needed to get covered up. And, Correa and his big mouth. This is, it's like they forced the Dodgers into this. Now, it just happened to be by chance that we played them, but the Astros put themselves there. Had they came out and said, look, we messed up, we will take whatever it is on the chin, as long as it's not a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But look, we are contrite. We are sorry. Please forgive us. No, they came out arrogant as all hell.
Defiant.
And said, yeah. So what?
Yeah. Gus, thank
I'm
you for the call.
I'm not disputing any of that. I just don't get why that's the Dodgers' problem.
Well, because they were the ones that got screwed Let's be real.
He was on a team that screwed them with the Red Sox.
But here's what I would say. There are degrees to this, okay? You're 100% right. But that series wasn't competitive and wasn't going to be competitive regardless, I think, personally. I went into that series. I remember having this conversation with Greg saying they're going to get their ass kicked. They're not winning this series against Boston. Whether they were using electronics or not, they just weren't the better team. In that Astros series, they were the better team. And in that Astros series, the splits between home and road are redonkulous, okay? So I think that because of that, I think that's the key here. That is the key element that drives this. By the way, Mookie Betts, and I don't know if Joe Kelly did or didn't do this, because a lot of people point to Mookie Betts in a similar fashion to what you said about Joe Kelly because he was on the Red Sox. But to my knowledge, and again, none of this has gotten out of the clubhouse, but it was reported that Mookie Betts in particular had a conversation with the Dodgers and his teammates about everything that transpired, and that they came out of that feeling good about it, and he came out of that, everyone saying that he exhibited all sorts of leadership based on that particular conversation that we don't have any details about. So, you know, for what it's worth, I don't think it's necessarily apples to apples when you're comparing the Red Sox series to the Astros series. That's just my personal opinion. You
that's
can disagree,
fair.
And that's fine.
But, you know, I mean, the Dodgers have been the better team in a lot of series. And I'm not trying to say this just because of the Nationals, and I'm being serious about this. You know what I mean? You can't just all – I mean, look, I am not in disagreement with any Laker fan – excuse me, Dodgers fan who wants to be happy about what Joe Kelly did. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm not passing moral judgment. I just honestly think – if you believed that Joe Kelly specifically was the one that you wanted to carry out this task, well, then you're not thinking about the overall long-term health of the Dodgers. And that, to me, if you're a Dodger fan, should be more important than what happens or doesn't happen to the Astros. That's what I'm saying.
All right, let me go to Jay in L.A. Jay, what's up?
Yo, 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 what's up, what's up?
What's up?
What's going on?
So, Clint, you have you just recently said it's a punk move to throw at someone's head, right? But you
correct.
Use that as an analogy, trying to challenge people to go to the field and challenge you on that. I'm very glad you're not in a position of power to claim that Joe Kelly is that important, that in the next 8 games, he's going to be very important and not coming out of the pen. But you felt you realized that at least these last 2 games against Houston, the pen only allowed 5 hits against the supposed best team in baseball. So here's my question to you.
Well, the Dodgers.
Why aren't you mad? Why aren't you mad at Dusty Baker for telling Joe Kelly, why don't you get back on the mound effort? Why aren't you mad at him? Why aren't you talking about him?
Why would I be mad at that?
Correa?
That's a pretty harmless thing to say.
Okay, cool. How about
is also making a funny face and telling him swing the bat.
I don't disagree.
Biatch.
I don't disagree. The talking is not the issue.
Yeah. Oh, he dropped. Sorry about it. All right, listen.
No, I mean, talking is not the issue. I'm not offended by people talking trash. I mean, you know what we do for a living. Yeah. I'm offended by people throwing baseballs at people and acting like they don't have any reason to be upset.
All right, we'll continue this discussion. We'll open it up to you guys at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We will dive into Lakers-Clippers next segment, I promise. Who is coming up at 1040, Greg? Who is our first guest today?
Mark Spears.
Mark Spears. So we'll talk some NBA with him. So we'll continue the Dodgers discussion, the Joe Kelly. We will discuss when the statue will be built at Chavez Ravine as well. We'll get to all that coming up in just a second. Plus, we'll dive into this Lakers-Clippers series tonight. Because I think, honestly, if you're the Lakers, a lot rides on tonight for one specific reason. I'll get to that in a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell, Pennzoil, Performance Line. Clint Yates hanging out with us all show today.
What up?
And Mark Spears. I normally don't make that mistake that everybody else does, but I was just reading a tweet that we were talking about during the break from Marcus Spears about Joe Rogan, because apparently Alyssa Milano was complaining that Joe Rogan's podcast has triple the listeners that she does. And look, while I think Joe Rogan's podcast is fine. Like, I'm not an avid listener. If he has a guest occasionally that I want to listen to, I'll listen. Like, my boy Billy Corbin was on a few years ago, and I listened to it. Honestly, I've listened to his podcast less than 5 times in, like, my life. and it's just for a specific interview, then that I'm done with it. But I can understand where people would be like, Joe Rogan, America's therapist, is like, you know, life coach, America's life coach. I can see where that would like annoy some people, but who cares? Like, my position on stuff like that, Clinton, And look, I don't know Joe Rogan at all. And again, I think he's very talented. But like, if you don't like something, just don't listen. Like, I don't understand, right? Like, why there's this need to vocalize, I don't like you. You know what I mean? Like, just don't listen. Like, I don't go out of my way to tell people I'm not listening to what they're, what content they're putting out there. It just seems silly.
Well, bro, then what are you even doing on Twitter? Because that's half of what my mentions are. People telling me that they don't listen because they know that I suck. I'm like, well, how do you know that I suck if you don't listen? Number one. Number two, I like Alyssa Milano a lot. She's a big baseball fan. Big Dodgers fan. You know what I'm saying? So we like her. But number three, I've watched, or rather I've seen Joe Rogan's show one time. That's when Elon Musk was on there smoking blunts with him. And that was hilarious. So I'll give him that.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm not big on Joe Rogan life coach, like, but I don't listen to that part. I'll occasionally listen to an interview and I move on with the rest of my day. It doesn't make me seethe inside where I got to post it on Twitter and, you know, tweet through it. Like, it's just, and I like Alyssa Milano. That's my girl. That was my first crush, Alyssa Milano. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know,
Natalie
I got a lot
Portman.
Of love for her. I got a lot of love for her. I was actually there. At the World Series party in 2003 when she met Carl Pavano.
Oh, really?
I was there. I saw it all unfold
before my
eyes.
That's a great I was there. I like that.
I was there to see it all unfold before my eyes. And so I'm a big fan of hers. I actually believe a lot of the stuff she believes. Like, I'm with her. I support her. But I just think that stuff is just, come on. Anyway, the NBA is back. Clinton, tune in tonight as LeBron and the Lakers host Kawhi and the Clippers. Of course, you can catch it right here on 710 ESPN. And if for whatever reason you can't listen here, you can always listen on ESPN Radio. We've got the game there nationally as well. So let's talk about them real quick, and we'll get right back to the calls. Here's what I'm saying. I teased to the break that I think this game means a little more to the Lakers for one specific reason, and it's the psyche. I generally am not the regular season things matter. But however, this is a unique circumstance where these two teams play in the same city and also play in the same building in theory. And they're all playing in the same building right now, but you get my point. So there is a little bit more juice behind this type of game than, let's say, previous LeBron iterations where they've lost regular season games to the Bulls or the Celtics or whoever, and then they mollywop them in the playoffs. I think this could be a little different because I think that for those reasons that I outlined earlier. And here's the thing. The Clippers are going to have basically half a team out there. Now, granted, they will have Kawhi and Paul George out there, which is the most important thing. But if the Lakers can't beat them tonight, I do think that from a psyche perspective, that one at least creeps into the back of your head a little bit.
100%. And whether the psyche factor is because it's the Clippers specifically, or whether the psyche factor is because the Clippers are just a good team, or whether the psyche factor is basically about the Lakers' reflective view of themselves, you're right. All that matters. There's some legitimate basketball questions here. You talked about the fact that they're all in the bubble. Well, you got to figure out whether or not this is really working. You know, are y'all on the same page? Can you beat the Clippers? This was an issue well before anybody went into any bubbles, as people were concerned that the Clippers were better. And because it's the Clippers, it's almost looked at as if that's not a realistic discussion, but it is. And I think you're exactly right. This is much bigger for the Lakers overall. And, you know, in general, more specifically to what, happens going forward, I think AD is an extremely important player on this team for more reasons than just the obvious. But I think as goes AD in this particular scenario, so go the Lakers. And so you want to figure out just what your blend method is going to be. J.R. Smith hitting a bunch of threes against the sorry-ass Zardos is not exactly the only thing that you want to take away from the beginning of the bubble situation. You want to make sure that you are hitting on all cylinders because this is a sprint. And that's why this is so important and why I'm so looking forward to this game tonight. The Lakers should crush them tonight, personally. That's what I think. And if they don't, okay, but this is a game to lose, not necessarily one that they got to do a whole lot to win. And by game to lose, I mean it is theirs in hand, in my opinion, because of the personnel situation you just described, George.
Yeah, for sure. I know there's a lot of people out there also like, ooh, Kawhi doesn't look good in the scrimmages. Like, relax. It's the scrimmages. I'm pretty sure he's going to be close to 30 points tonight if I had to guess.
Sure, right. And Bol Bol's going to be on an all-star team next year, too, according to a lot of Twitter, according to scrimmages.
Right. Let's go to the phones. Matt in Highland Park. Matt, what's up? Hello, Matt.
Matt, you're on the air.
Okay, he dropped. Let's go to Chris in L.A. Chris, what's up? Hello, Chris. Oh, for the love of God.
A lot of guys getting a little nervous in the box.
Okay, this is the last one, and we're not taking calls the rest of the show. Noah in L.A. We're done. We're done, at least for this hour. We're
done. I can just read tweets, too. And, I mean, listen, I understand there's a legitimate argument about this. I simply happen to agree, I mean, not to disagree with the fundamental notion of everything else can be forgived after throwing it at a guy's head because of some previous cheating matter. I just don't think that's the Dodgers thing to adjudicate. I think it's a waste of time on their part, and I just think it indicates that they are thinking about, in my personal opinion right now, the wrong things. That's just
all right. Let's get to Mark Spears. We'll talk some Lakers Clippers with him. We'll talk bubble life with the Undefeated's columnist and NBA insider Mark Spears in 3 minutes. Sedano Show rolls on here on 710 ESPN. Clint Yates hanging out the whole show today. Brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil and Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking the trail or hanging out in your terrace, your deck, or your dock, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. The Undefeated's Mark Spears, NBA insider, joins us now here on the Sedano Show. Thank you, my man, for taking the time. As always, I will start with the question Clinton and I were discussing in the last segment. Do you believe this game, based on who's going to be on the floor, means more for the Lakers because it could play a factor in the back of their mind somewhere that they've lost to the Clippers this many times? Do you think that will factor in? Do you think that the psyche could be a potential issue if the Lakers lose this one?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if the Clippers won, that would be a 3-1 series lead, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah, I think what happens is, I mean, really, this game is more important to me in terms of the social justice part than the actual meaning of this game, which is actually pretty meaningless because of these two guys' records. Thank you. But I will say that us as a media will constantly bring that up, the 3-1, the 3-1, the 3-1, the 3-1, assuming they play each other in a conference final. You know, we're going to wear that out to death. So Perhaps that will be a part of the psyche. But that, man, right now, that seems so far away from right now in terms of a possible Western Conference Finals matchup. I think they'd be too far removed for all those games in the series for it to really matter.
I got a two-parter for you, Marcus. First of all, Marcus. See, George, you got me calling him by the wrong name, too. Mark, number one, what is bubble like been life? I saw you on TV the other day with that sweet mask on. I like that look. And number two, do you believe, like I believe, that Anthony Davis, as what I would say is the hands-on defensive player of the year so far in the NBA, is perhaps more important to this team in terms of what their success rate is going to be than even LeBron James?
To answer the first question, in terms of the media, I will say I have the best collection of wine here.
Oh.
I have a wine fridge.
Yeah, I've heard you've. I've heard it's so good that people have asked you for some bottles, or you've gifted some to the folks in the bubble.
Well, I did gift them some Yao Ming wine. Shout out to Bill Sanders of Los Angeles. I've also had a nice collection of Charles Krug and Frank family wine, and Wah family wine. The one thing that was bad one night was somebody who I'll leave nameless that doesn't drink decided to grab one of my bottles and pour it to people.
Oh, and no.
Bro, that's a $250 bottle of wine.
Oh, juice.
Oh. You know what I'm saying? Oh. And so he's like, my bad. I'm like, you don't drink, so don't touch my bottle, man.
pretty simple rule.
Yeah, no, and, listen.
But, you know.
I would have done what Joe Kelly did to the Astros in that situation. You know what I'm saying? You crack open that $250 bottle of wine for other people and start pouring it. We're going to have some problems if I'm not the one pouring that thing.
Yeah, so it's getting better. It's been a challenge. I have a toaster oven to heat up my food. We don't have, you know, access to restaurants. But when you know about all the homeless people in L.A., man, who am I to complain about not having the food that I would really, really like, you know? Really? So could it be better? Would it be cool if we had a restaurant to go to and a bar? Yeah, but we're fine, man. My room's fine. And the one thing that's been amazing is I get tested every day. I get a coronavirus test daily. I get my oxygen tested daily. I get my temperature daily. And they got these Barney Fifes walking around to make sure we social distance. The NBA's not playing. There's a reason why they've had these great results so far in terms of the COVID testing. So, kudos to them, but this is not a game for them. And then in terms of Anthony Davis, yeah, to me he's the complete X factor. Like, LeBron, as amazing as he is, Kawhi Leonard is amazing too. So I think if they were to play in the conference finals, if he was to play Giannis in the finals, those guys cancel each other out. So who's going to get the Lakers over the hump? It's Anthony Davis. He has to stay healthy. Has to. This is his time. This is his moment. This is his ability to make himself considered to be one of the NBA greats. So to me, I know what I'm going to get from LeBron. We got to see what we're going to get from Anthony Davis, and I think it's his health that I'm more always concerned about than his actual ability to play the game.
Mark Spears of the Undefeated, NBA Insider with us here. You are preaching to the choir. I have been saying that all day, every day, for God knows how long. That LeBron, he is the pillar of consistency. You're going to get probably close to 30 points and probably close to a triple-double pretty much every single night. But the Lakers gave up the farm, literally, for Anthony Davis. And he is the one matchup that the Clippers, or pretty much almost anyone, because he's an extraterrestrial, can't handle. And they're going to go as far as he goes. Now, let me ask you this. Yeah. They're going to need contributions, though, beyond those two. Who do you believe they can most rely upon beyond those two guys, Mark?
Kuz. But who else outside of that? Everybody else is a role player, a box of chocolate player. You don't know what they're going to give you from one night to the next. There's three guys on that team that I know could have big nights. Everybody else is a wild card. So health is at paramount with these Lakers teams. Not having Avery Bradley, not having Rajon for as long as they may have him, they could probably get by at first, but at some point you're gonna see those Clippers, and you're gonna see Paul George. Paul George is healthy now; that shoulder isn't hurting him anymore. We know what Kawhi is. We know what Lou Williams is. Like, who are gonna stop those two guards? I remember Damian Lillard having 48 against the Lakers and showing that guard defense is a real problem. LeBron's not going to be guarding them, dude. LeBron can't do everything. Mm-hmm. So right. If there is a concern for me about the Lakers, they have the three stars. Those guys got to stay consistent. But how do you stop a long list of amazing guards that are in Orlando when they get going?
No, that's a good question. I mean, the last thing I have is just quickly, do you think that they're going to employ the same strategy for these initial eight games that they are for the Clippers? Like, how important do you think this little preamble is for the Lakers in terms of not just results, but gelling, with the makeup of the squad at this point?
Man, Quentin, I just realized that was you.
Yeah, man. What's going on, player?
Did you think I was changing my voice all of a sudden, in midstream?
Man, like, hey, man, look. I've been doing so many interviews. I don't know who.
I was gonna say, man, he's been talking a lot, right?
And I was like, man, that's Clinton. What's up, dog? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm out here arguing with people about baseball, but an earthquake woke me up this morning. But otherwise, I'm chilling.
Donald, is that East Coaster okay for the earthquake? I know he probably all shook up.
No, man, I slept right through that. I didn't even know what the hell. I didn't even know what happened. Someone was texting me this morning.
I'm not talking about you.
Oh, you say Clinton? Oh, yeah, because
it woke me up. Yeah. It woke me up, that's for sure. A couple of aftershocks also kept me awake, but I'm okay.
Yeah, well, welcome to California.
Yeah, exactly. Man. I mean, 4.2, Clinton.
Okay, well,
what was
your question?
That's sleep-worthy. That's sleep-worthy.
My question was, are the Lakers going to take any game in this eight-game preamble to the playoffs as seriously as they're going to take the Clippers one? And should they, considering what they got to get together in terms of what we'll just call their gelling and their unity beyond just the results about, these eight games before the playoffs start?
I think what they could do is just, I don't know, man. If they go 0-8, will it matter? You know what I'm saying? And I say this because, you see Eric Gordon get hurt. Their health is such a big concern for me. I'm just getting guys minutes. I'm getting them ready. I'm probably overplaying the bench to kind of get them mentally ready. I don't see why you need to play LeBron or
AD or Kuzma more than 30. Maybe, I don't know, maybe tonight you get excited, whatever, but there's a bigger, bigger picture. There's a bigger goal in mind, and it ain't these eight games. Their seeding will not be changed. The only thing where I think it matters, and I don't have the standings in front of me, is, well, it doesn't matter. This is actually funny. Home court.
Right.
Okay, so what if the Bucks get home court? They're not playing in Milwaukee. But on the same token, when the Lakers are playing the Clippers night, they're not playing at Staples either. So that pro-Lakers crowd, that advantage that the Lakers got from that, that's gone. That's gone, man. That to me, was always a psychological boost that the Lakers had, is that even when it was a Clippers home game, those Lakers fans made it a home game for them. That's gone now. They you can put all the glitz and the glamour of the digital boards and have the Laker girls dance behind and Jack Nicholson kind of watch virtually or whatever. It ain't the same as playing in Staples, man. This is like playing in a library. So it's just going to be all hoop there, and there ain't no home court advantage in the least.
Mark Spears with us here. One last question, and then I got to tell you something that I did that you'll laugh about. Zion, he playing tonight or what?
Man, that dude's 20, man. Get him out there, man. Well, he's 20. He's all right.
Okay.
He says he could play a whole game. You know, I think Alvin and the Pel's medical staff are certainly want to be cautious with him, but it's probably going to be a fatigue thing. It's not an injury thing anymore, and he says he feels better than he did in March. So, yeah, I expect him to. I just wonder how rusty he's going to be, because keep in mind, he didn't play in any of the scrimmages. So this is actually his first live contest since his last one.
Right. Well, on Twitter, I put up a question. It says, if someone else opens up a very special $250 bottle of wine that you own and pours it out for everyone without your consent, what is your reaction? I'm going to tag you on this. I already sent it out, but I'm gonna reply to myself and tag you just so you can laugh at
Chris
all the memes.
Haynes, by the way.
What's that?
Chris Haynes.
It was can I tag Chris Haynes?
What are we doing, y'all?
You can tag him.
I'm gonna tag you. I'm gonna tag you both and just put a laugh emoji. I'm gonna do that.
Who's never drank before?
Okay, I'm tagging you both.
Never drank alcohol. Really, you know, everybody tasted it. But if you don't drink, don't touch my bottles, bro. But you ain't got to go at him like that. This is for everybody listening.
Right, we got the snitch line right here on ESPN LA.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna tag him at Chris B. Haynes, my guy at Mark Spears. His using the snitch line on you on the radio show today. So I'm gonna write that so everyone knows what transpired. Mark Spears, you are a gentleman and a scholar. We love having you on. Thank you so much. Stay healthy, stay safe, my brother.
Keep it up, Mark.
I mean, hey man, y'all stay safe. We good here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're in the safest place in the world. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
All right, man. Yeah. Be good.
Take care, guys.
See you. Take care. There he is. Mark Spears with us here on the Sedano Show on 710
$250 ESPN. Bottle of wine? You're pouring at will, unauthorized?
Yeah.
Haynes, what are you doing?
I'm tagging Haynes right now. I'm like, yo, Spears snitched on you. Wow. All right. We'll settle that. It's on my Twitter, at Sedano. It'll be fun, I'm sure. What you need to know, plus Joe Kelly the martyr, next.